Okay, welcome back to part two of our virtual retreat on how to create a wonderful class that's going to seed your services and grow your practice and educate your community about the amazing power of food and nutrition to restore their health and position you as the expert. So what we've done so far is looked at the different kinds of classes that you could do, between just straight recipe classes that have incorporated information about the food within the recipes as you do the recipes. We talked about doing educational classes that may also have a food demo component. And then we talked about pure educational classes. So it's up to you to decide what it is that you really want to do the most and what's going to benefit you in terms of the kind of practice that you're trying to build. A few of you, I asked you over the break to think about what you're most passionate about teaching and what you'd like to, what some ideas are that you would have for your first class. So if you want to post those to the chat, that would be awesome. Okay. And Maria says, I'm most passionate about blood sugar. Yeah. And hormone balance. And after last hour, might be a good idea to demo a few foods with it. Would be awesome, you know, because people go, oh, blood sugar balance, and oh, that food, I can't even imagine what it's going to taste like. And when you show them how amazing it is, it's awesome. And Allison said, women's health and menopause, so that's perfect, especially, you know, to get people balanced, you can show them what they can do. Martha said, I'd like to work with autistic families. Everyone is suffering from exhaustion, not making food choices that could improve their situation. And one of my strengths is helping with environmental products and then moving into nutrition. Awesome. Great. So think as we're going through this and we go through some titles, be thinking and jotting down some ideas for titles and we can help you to fine tune those. Tony, I want to work with women, help women step into their greatness by making health, wellness, and lifestyle changes that stick. Awesome. Awesome. Kate, interested in starting to work with people experiencing depression. I feel like working on online platform would be supportive of this area since there's so much stigma and embarrassment around people admitting that they suffer from it. Yeah. Awesome. Super. And you know, food, mood, good mood foods could be a really nice topic for a presentation. And I find, I'm just going to tell you from my own experience with doing stuff online and sending out newsletters and emails, the things that get the best open rates and the blog posts that get the best response are ones that are related to recipes, but recipes with a purpose, recipes with a mission, recipes for specific ailments or illnesses. So Good Mood Food was the name of one of the presentations I did at one point, but something along those lines could be a really awesome title for a presentation. And Kate, you could do it. We could do it both. You can invite people in the community if they want to come to that. And you can do this, the dual presentation. Alma, I would like to help those with compromised gut and immune function due to toxic cancer treatments. Whoa, that's a cool niche. Many can't digest raw veggies, beans, and nuts. I'd like to offer more clean protein solutions other than animal products. Okay, cool. And show them that it's possible. We're going to have a whole open Q&A, Maria, so that's the good time to ask about partnerships. I'd like to share my scenario and love to hear your feedback. Yep. Okay. Maria, most passionate about blood sugar. I got that one. Shonda, most passionate about blood sugar balance and hormone balance as well. These are my issues, and I see people with the same issues. And, you know, I see that it's just such a great place to start and get them in. And we know that we have expertise in all different areas, but it's what you get them in with that gets you started. And yeah, if somebody has blood sugar issues, you're also going to be addressing their digestion and their adrenals because it's all part of the picture. But it's, you get them in with what's foremost on their mind. Diane said smoothie demos and other simple recipes. Diane had also said gluten and GMOs. Isabel, gut health. Allison, passionate about helping women to break free from the menopause prison and live their lives with vitality. Cassandra, enjoy teaching about cleansing, blood sugar balance, and adrenals, all of which the busy professional real life woman experiences. And you know, I have some titles that address those busy women, so you feel free to steal my titles or, you know, work on them from there. Michelle, passionate about the combo of stress and how it can lead to adrenal imbalances. I'd like to focus on the importance of recognizing stress and the tools to disengage stress plus the food component. Yep, great. And you can do your very interactive workshops, right? Teaching them some of the tapping and the heart math, along with teaching them stress reduction. And today's thing that you're gonna see me do is actually on adrenal recipes. And I just went on the break and pulled out the book from the adrenal class and decided how I was gonna do that. Cassandra loves good mood foods. Great idea. Okay, super. So let's move on. Let's look at how you can use these classes to build your practice. We've talked a lot about this so far, so I won't belabor the point, but I know that there were some additional things that I wanted to be able to share with you, and make sure you jot these things down or take notes on your handouts. So you can offer a great value-add talk or food preparation demonstration that inspires people. So you want the title and the description to be very focused on what's uppermost on their minds. What's keeping them awake at night? The people that you want to attract, what are they thinking? You know, those busy women, it's like, how the heck can I fit healthy living into this busy lifestyle? So the thing has to be something related to blah, 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 blah for the busy professional, right? Or, you know, the busy mom's guide to quick and easy recipes, blah. We'll talk about that when we do titles. So you want to get them in, you want to offer them value, you want to really respect their time, and then teach them how to do things and give them something they can walk away and be able to do. So whether it's a full-on food prep class where you're going to teach them 4 or 5 or 6 recipes, or it's a talk about the topic and you're going to show them a couple of things, you give them the call to action at the end of going back and making it and reporting back. That's another way to do it too. So you give them a few tips that they take away that they can do right on the spot, right? Maybe some pantry organization tips, maybe a list of foods to always have on hand so that you can make quick recipes without having to scramble. You want to give some handouts, but here's what you want to do with the handouts. You want to make sure that all your handouts have your business name and logo. You don't know how many times I see people who have their business name and logo on the front page. The rest of them are generic. And I'm not just talking about people who are just starting out. I'm talking about professionals who've been doing this for years. Within Word or whatever other program that you use, you have the ability to create a footer and a header. And every single page should have a footer that has a copyright symbol with your name and your website address or your phone number or however else you want people to be able to reach you. All of that should be in the footer. Notice the slides I'm sharing with you, right? This says www.drrinamarie.com, copyright Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, my credentials, Institute of Nutritional Endocrinology. Whatever it is that you want them, how you want them to reach you, that's in your footer and it goes on every single page. The header can then be a repeat of the name of the class. So you just repeat that and have a page number. You can have a page number at the bottom or the top, however you want. There's no, you know, guidelines for what works better. I've never seen any statistics on what works better. That's not a big deal. But make sure that you have on every single page a way that they can reach you. And that way, if they share that with someone else, they give that recipe, they copy that page, that person that has that knows where it came from and can always get back to you. I can't stress this enough, and I see this over and over again, people putting out documents and recipe guides that don't have their information. You can even go so far as to put an opt-in down there. I've done that in one recipe guide. I put, you know, download your free copy of XYZ, and I gave a URL. However you want to capitalize on using that real estate on the page, think of it as your banner, your broadcast, your billboard for yourself, for your practice. You want to have, make sure that it's in there, your phone number, your website, your email address, whatever way you want them to be able to contact you. It's all in there. You can have a page of contact information page, yes, but make sure that the footer has it. You also want to have a menu of your offers, what you have. We have at the back, it'll say other books and programs by Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo. So it has the content of my book, and then it has my bio. And in your bio, you want to state all the value things that you do. So that's, you know, Cassandra Herbert is, you know, a registered nurse. She's a psychologist. She's been in therapy practice for this long. She's been studying here. So I've spoken at the Holistic Nurses Convention. You put in your speaking engagements. You put in any writing you've done, any articles you've had published, all goes in your bio. We're going to be bringing somebody in to help us put together bios at some point in the Practice Building Success System. But in the meantime, look at people's bios, see what you like about them, and model yours after someone that looks like it's complete. And like when you read their bio, you're impressed as all heck. That's what you want. Okay? And you want this menu of your offers after your bio. So it'll say all about you, and it'll say other books and programs and services. Maybe you want to do pantry makeovers. Put that down. You put the name of it, you know, kitchen and pantry makeover, personalized kitchen setup, personalized classes. I know that Patty Repko, I don't know if she's on today, but she does classes at people's homes. She'll talk to somebody. She'll say, hey, we can do this like dinner party type class. She goes to their house. They have 6 or 8 people. They pay her per person. She teaches them how to make the food. She sets it up. She leaves. They have a party. What a great service. Think about the services that you want to have. Even if you don't already offer them, you've never offered it before, but you want to, you just put the name of it and you put a blurb about it. And people start asking about it. You go, oh, I'd love to do that. Great. You don't have to tell them they're your first one. You can if you want to, but you don't have to. And then any books you've written or any articles you've written, anything that you can make available to them. So maybe you have a list of some free ebooks you've done, and maybe you have some paid ebooks. Maybe like Tony, you did that summit. Do you have the recordings of that summit? Can you make that available as a product? Even if you didn't do it at the time, make it available as a product. Offer it for a nice, easy investment, you know, $37 or something. You get these 12 recordings. Or if you have transcripts of it, turn it into a book. I know you had the tips sheets. Are you selling that? Well, put it at the back of all of your recipe guides and anything you're giving people. Make a list of everything. Create a list of all your assets, so to speak. And anything that you have that you can turn into an ebook or a book for sale. So those all go at the back. For me, I put my books, I put my programs, I put a sampling of some of the Raw Food University classes that we used to do. We called our classes Raw Food University, and we taught all these classes. We have, I think we have, you know, 20 or so of those recorded classes, which we sell. I have those listed. I have all my ebooks listed. I have all my programs listed. I have a kitchen makeover listed, because Karen Osborne was going to be available if anybody in my programs wanted to do that. So I put that down as kitchen makeover because I don't do those anymore. Health coaching, right? If you have a 6-week digestive health program, Isabel, you put that in the back of everything you give these folks so that they're seeing it over and over again. And you're also going to be seeding the program or coaching services throughout the offer that you're doing, throughout the program that you're doing. So what does that mean, seeding? Well, what it means is that you're mentioning private clients. If you're talking about a particular nutrient, oh yeah, whenever I have private clients who want to do this goal, achieve this, I have them put this food in, or I have them use this herb. One of my private clients, so-and-so, one of the people in my group, hormone balancing program, asked me this question, and I thought it was a great question, and that's when I started to really recommend this particular herb. So you're thinking about all the ways that you deal with it. Like Michelle, you're not doing health coaching clients yet, but you have energy medicine clients. And I'm sure that you've had people on the table and you've talked to them about particular foods. So you say, yeah, one of my clients was suffering from, and I told her to do this, and she had great results. So I'd love for you to try it and let me know what your results are. That's called seeding. You're not selling. You're just letting it be known that you have all these different programs. Oh, that this recipe is like inspired by from my ebook, you know, Healthy Decadence Desserts. You're not telling them how to get it, even. You're just telling them that you have it. At some point later, you can tell them how they can get it. But you don't want it to feel like a sales pitch all through. So you're just mentioning it. That's called seeding. That's called seeding. And the art of seeding, you get better and better, the more you do. And then you start doing it naturally. You just start doing it naturally. You do it with people at the supermarket. Oh, yeah, that's called a cherimoya. Oh, my God, that's so good. You know, one of my clients, Susie, she didn't know what it was, and she tried it, and she thought it was better than chocolate pudding. You know, she just added a little chocolate to it, and she made it into pudding, and she added some nuts to it. Whew. She goes, oh, she has private clients. Oh, what do you do? Oh, you know, it starts conversation, right? You don't have to be overtly marketing, but you're always be marketing. Always think about how you can put this stuff into the conversation to create value for people and let them know what you have to offer. And then always, 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 always offer something at the end, whether it's, you know, a $7 ebook or a free ebook to get them on your list, whether it's a strategy session, which I highly recommend because you've gotten these person into rapport with you. And if you've seeded that you do personal health coaching, and I just want to offer you guys are here today. I do about five of these. I have room for about five of them a month. It's my way of giving back to the community. I'd love to just get together for a half an hour with you, and I can help you with taking what you learned today and applying it to your life and showing you how to do it better. So if you'd like, get your name on this list. Or if you have a program, I did it for a while. I did these 2-hour talks, and I would rent out a room at a place we have locally called Casa de Luz. It's a macrobiotic center, and they have this beautiful room. And I'd rent the room out, and I typically would invite everybody locally that was on my list, and I'd get about 30 people to sign up. Inevitably, I'd always get more than 30 people because people from California and all over the world would sign up, and we'd have to contact them and say, hey, this is in Austin. Are you really going to fly to Austin for this? We'd do these 2-hour free talks. I was thinking about if I did them again, I'd charge $10 because we did food demo. We did one food demo, and we brought samples of stuff I'd made in advance, and I'd give them the recipe as part of the presentation. And then at the end, I would offer something, a paid item. First time I did this, I had, I don't know, maybe 20 people in my kitchen, in my living room. We had to move furniture out of the way because so many people showed up. And I offered, I didn't know what I was doing. I just figured I'd try it. I offered a $1,200 6-month coaching package. And I got 3 people to buy it. So that 2 hours of time in my kitchen made me $3,600 and helped me to start that coaching program and all the materials for that that I then continued to use over and over. I later went and offered a $300 package. A $300 group coaching program, you know, like 6-week group coaching program. So like Isabel does for gut, I think it was for energy, recharge your energy. And I offered that to a group of like 25 or 30 people. And I got like 12 of them to sign up for that. Well, guess what? That was another $3,600 from a 2-hour talk. So don't underestimate the power of doing a free talk. You'll get more people into the free talk than you will if it's paid, but you also have more of a sense of how many people are coming if you charge them $10. So you can charge them $10 in advance. You can charge them $10 at the door. You can encourage them to let all their friends know. And if it's free, it's going to be real easy. Say, everybody bring a friend. Or if they pay $10, you say you can also bring a friend for free and get them to bring their friends, because it's oftentimes the friends that sign up for stuff. And that's that. So if there's any questions about that before we move on to class naming, go ahead and type them in. I'll get started on talking about the naming, and then I'll come back and answer those questions about everything we've covered so far, about seeding, about the recipe guides, about a handout. Even if you're not teaching recipes, give them some sort of handout or checklist. You know, think it through. What do you have already that you're using with clients that you can pull out and give? What would you like to have that to use with clients? Create it. Go into NEPT and into the modules that say done for you, and any of the things in there that say you're welcome to use this as long as you keep my copyright on it or whatever. You can hand those things out to people. You can edit it so that it has your name and mine, but as long as you keep that, you know, this was adapted from, because I don't want people stealing my stuff, but I want people using my stuff. So you give me credit, you give yourself credit, you associate yourself with me. So if you're not a doctor and you're associating yourself with a doctor and say, oh, this is my mentor. This is who I'm learning from. I'm learning nutritional endocrinology from her. They go, whoa, what's that? Oh, it's the, you know, how you manipulate hormones by using nutrition and lifestyle and diet. And this is what I'm getting training in. That elevates your status. So you can use any of the handouts I have and hand them out as part of a package. But always make sure that you've got your information in there as well. So here's some naming tips. You want the name to be result-oriented. So people say, oh, I want that. I want that. You want them to be, you know, juicy. You don't want it to be something people don't care about. So N, simple strategies. Simple is good. Easy is good. Quick is good because people don't want it to be hard. So N, simple strategies to receive X. So maybe it's 3 simple strategies to help you sleep better. Okay, that would be a non-food related, but maybe you're actually doing that. And one of the strategies is food. And one of the strategies is here's some great meals you can have at dinner time that are going to help you to relax so that you better sleep. Or here's a great after dinner elixir that's going to calm you down. So N, simple strategies to achieve X. I would say what's been found to work is that the N is an odd number, not an even number. And then it's 3, 5, or 7. Anything more than 7 no longer becomes simple. 5 is really good. 3, it depends on how much time you have. You want to be able to spend enough time talking about it. So 3 or 5 is what I would recommend. My first webinar or live event that I did this way recently after being trained was 3 myths about fatigue that every woman should know. And it was myths like, oh, that creates intrigue. Ah, 3 myths. What is that? What should everybody know? And then I had the card and I talked about, you know, fatigue robs you of this and that. Come and learn about the myths. And so the myths I talked about were things that people would have thought were going to help and that weren't. And I had a food, one of those myths was related to food. And I had a little food demo and I gave them out little samples. It was awesome. That was the class that I just told you about where I generated $3,600 every time I did it. And then easy, quick, and delicious ways to make X, right? Easy, quick, and delicious ways to make breakfast that energize you throughout the day. Easy, quick, and delicious ways to make gluten-free bread and crackers, right? Easy, quick, and delicious are nice words. You can put them in any order you want. You can use synonyms of those, but those tend to get people's interest because everybody wants easy, quick, and delicious. Right? So make it something that they're going to want. You can have others like menu makeover strategies for busy people. Like if you're, that's what you're working with. If you're working for busy professional women, it could be simple menu makeover strategies for busy professional women. Great. If you're working with moms, okay, so Martha said she wants to work with autistic children. The Busy Mom's Guide to Simple, Quick, and Delicious Meals Your Kids Will Love. It could be, you know, the Busy Mom's Guide to Simple, Quick, and Delicious Meals Even the Pickiest of Kids Will Love, right? Take in some of the objections they have. Take in some of the problems that they're suffering from, and you stick it in the title. You can say a pantry and kitchen makeover, which is not so good. You know, simple strategies for stocking your kitchen and pantry that make meals quick and easy to make. Something like that. Transform your life with, right? Transform your health with, you know, simple strategies to transform your meals from panic to passion. Right? Simple ways to rekindle your love life using food. Foods that rekindle your relationship. Right? All kinds of things. Change your diet, transform your life. These are just a couple that I came up with off the top of my head. What I recommend you do is just like read articles, look for headlines, go online and look at the names of classes, type in food preparation classes if that's what you're going to do and see the names that people are using. Some of them suck, so don't use those, but you might get ideas and say a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of the strategies and the outlines that I've given you. But make sure they're results oriented And they make it sound like you're going to give them simple, and you want to give them simple. Yeah, the whole process, maybe not simple. And that's what you want them to see as you go through. I've given you three simple strategies. This is how you might transition to your offer. I've given you three simple strategies for jumpstarting your energy. I've shown you some very easy recipes to do. But you know what? Going through this whole process may feel overwhelming to you. There's a lot of steps here. And you've got some great places to start, and it's really important to have some support when you do it. So I would suggest these three approaches to getting support. One, and the last one's going to be yours, right? One, you know, join a meetup group. Find a meetup group that's geared towards this, and maybe you'll meet some other people and create community. Number two, get a good book. Here's a good book that's a great place to start. But the problem with books is that you don't really get the handholding. You don't really get the support. Number three, set up a strategy session and I'll teach you how to get this stuff done and how to create a community. You can even create a Facebook community around your classes. So if you have an overarching umbrella title for the classes that you do, you know, Martha's Busy Mom series, Cassandra's Busy Professional Food Prep series or Health Tips series or something like that, some kind of overarching. You can create a Facebook group around that. And when people come to your classes, you can encourage them to go post on the Facebook group and say, hey, you know, make some of these recipes and post on the Facebook group which you've made. Post if you need questions. Post if you find a resource. Okay. The other thing I didn't mention in the booklet, but always give them some kind of resources. Like, where do you shop? Where do you buy your nuts or seeds or sprouts or spices or herbs? Where do you buy them? A few links like that really help. People love that. So I'm going to look to see if anybody's typed in any questions so far. Okay. Martha, actually, to get me started, the Agricultural Extension Co-op will let me do classes and promote and let me charge for it. So I would probably start with blood sugar since that covers a good population. Great. And you can also, if you want to specialize and you see, you know, learn, ask people when they come into the class, if it's a small class, to just do a quick go around, introduce themselves, say their name and one of their goals for the class. If you find that you've got, you know, some families there that do have autistic or special needs kids, you can actually let people know the importance of blood sugar balance for these kids. I had people coming to my classes. They started growing, and I started to have a waiting list for my classes, or I'd have to rearrange my living room because I figured I could fit 13 people, but 16 I couldn't, and I'd have to rearrange. But I would do it. And then I started to have people say, you know, I belong to a mom's group. One time she came and said, I belong to a mom's group and we have special needs kids. Most of them are either autistic or Asperger's. They're on gluten-free, dairy-free. And a lot of these people just don't know what to do. Will you do a class just for my group? I said, sure. So I did a class for 12 moms of autistic kids so I could really hone in on their special needs. At the end of it, I offered product. I had, at that time, I was buying dehydrators and Vitamixes wholesale, keeping them in my garage, and I was selling them. Plus, I was ordering lots of different products like herbs and things, sea vegetables, and I had them on the shelves. So after class, people went shopping, and we ended up selling $1,700 worth of product at the end of that class. So I charged them about $50 a person, and we had 12 people, so that was what, about $700. Then we did $1,700 in classes. This was all in my own home. I didn't have to pay rent to anybody. All I had to do was clean the house before and after. And we made, you know, like $20-something hundred. So it can be lucrative, and you can make money doing it. Yeah, so there's two different types of classes, and we'll talk about this a little bit more when we get to the finances. So Michelle, if you set up your name as three simple strategies to achieve, get your energy back, would you need to put something in the title that it's a food demo? I think the food demo would be an attractor. Yeah. So I would say, three simple strategies to get your, to, I don't know if I'd say get your energy back. You might want to play with the wording on that. You can say three simple diet and lifestyle strategies that revive your tired body. And you can say in the description that we're going to share with you some strategies, including a food demo. And you can say something like, bring your appetite, because we're going to share with you some yummy and delicious foods and give you some ideas for how to make them. Something like that. Yeah, good question. Okay, so let's move on. So how do you fill your classes? This is the biggie, right? We do not want an empty class. So you start out, invite all your friends, give them a discount ticket if you have to, just to fill some of the seats. Everybody you know. You just invite everybody you know. I'm sure you know a lot of people in your area. You must, right? You've been living there for a while. I invited, I put everybody on my list. Was friends, my kids' friends, moms. I put in people that had come to, come to me as patients, relatives of theirs. And I just would invite everybody. I'd send an email. I actually got Constant Contact at the time when I started doing this. And I would send out emails that would say I was doing these classes. So consider something like Constant Contact or MailChimp or something that's a low-cost database manager. You can always upgrade later to something that's more sophisticated. You ask your friends to invite friends, or you give your friends incentive to invite friends. You know, invite three friends who pay and yours is free, right? Or I'll give you a coupon for the next one. Or I'll give you a free 30-minute strategy session. Or I'll give you a bag of herbs. Or give your friends incentive to invite their friends. Say it's more fun with friends. Come with your friends. I would have people bring their moms and their sister-in-laws. I just told them everybody to bring their friends, that this was valuable information. You can approach local support groups. In most areas, there's a celiac society, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, autoimmune, and you just figure a way to describe what you're doing in such a way that's going to be important. Like, well, celiac, obviously, you know, mouth-watering, gluten-free, non-GMO food ideas, right? Or fibromyalgia, the connection between fibromyalgia and food, five simple strategies for blah, 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 okay? Chronic fatigue, same thing, you know, tie in their energy with their food, autoimmune diseases. There's all kinds of societies. Look into it. There's also church groups, PTAs, women's groups. We had a children's, it was Austin Preschool Mothers Club that I belonged to. And they invited me to, I did things at that. I belonged to it, but then some of the moms there belonged to other groups. And they invited me to speak at their church group. I had a homeschooling group invite me to speak to their teenagers, which was awesome and so much fun. So I did a lot of that by just putting out the word, hey, I'd love to do these. A lot of times, once you get some people who like what you're doing, they want to share it. And they'll say, would you be able to do a talk for this group? I did it at a senior center. One of my friend's moms was organizer of these monthly events for the senior group. So I went and talked to them. A lot of different things. I've done a lot of those little local meeting groups. And it all came about by me starting to do it at my home. People loved the classes and started talking about them, right? Just create a meetup. That's another way to fill your classes. Just go to meetup.com and create one, you know, and have once a month that you're going to have the busy professional women's get together for a healthy meal. I do this. I've been doing a meetup. I think it's 8 years now, 10 years. I think we started that in 2007. So it's been 9 years. So I've been doing it. And it's the last Saturday of every month, except sometimes when I travel, we don't have them. Right, this May, I'm going to be gone the whole month of May practically, and I won't have one to do it. So we're not going to do it. But I do it, and I've met a lot of people there. A lot of people have become clients from there. They've come to my classes. It's just been phenomenal. Okay, churches. I joined a women's spirituality church, a group at a UU church. I'd never even heard of what a UU church was. I wasn't really a church goer. I was a Reformed Catholic and kind of got out of it. Our neighbor said, oh, we have a yoga class that has childcare. Would you like to come? I'm like, sure. Anything that had childcare back when I had a 1-year-old and a 5-year-old was very appealing to me. So I went, and she says, oh, by the way, after the class, after the yoga class, we all have this women's spirituality circle. Are you interested? She said, it's a little different. You may, and she described it to me. I said, okay, sure. Those women have become friends, and I'm still go to that. I don't go as often as I can because now it's, you know, usually in the evenings at someone's home, and I'm usually working in the evening. So I go a few times a year, maybe 3, 4, 5 times a year, but those women have become friends. A lot of them became clients and patients. A lot of them came to my classes when I was doing them. Many of them are on my newsletter list now. Some of them have joined my various programs, come to my live events. So create that relationship with people. A lot of churches are looking for ways to bring speakers in. I've spoken at that church. I've done food demos for people. People got excited because every time I brought something to one of the gatherings, they'd be like, wow, is that really healthy? That decadent looking cheesecake you brought, or that amazing looking appetizer platter where I'd take cucumbers and doctor them up with these beautiful dips and dressings. So you get into those communities. Maybe the first time you do it, you only have 2 or 3 people. No big deal. Do it anyway. Or ask your friends to come. You know, maybe you get 2 or 3 people who are paying you or just are strangers that you don't know, but ask your friends to come to support you, right? Give them a free meal or something for doing it. You can rent a space and host a 2-hour talk. A lot of libraries and community centers and church want that. So you just have to be able to go out there and say, hey, here's a flyer. This is what I want to do. I'm really passionate about helping people to overcome this particular issue. Would you think this is something that your members would like? Okay. And definitely create an email list. Definitely do that, because then you can follow up with people and you can send them notices when classes are happening. And I just started this back then. I didn't really know what I was doing. I heard about Constant Contact. I signed up for it. Started sending people things out. Then what I would do is follow up with people in between and send them a recipe. I'd say, oh, you might like this recipe. And then, oh, by the way, I'm doing a class. And I had people on my email list that were all over the country because they were like, you know, relatives and people I'd met at conferences, and they'd be writing to me, oh, I wish I could come to your class. I wish you'd broadcast them. And I had no idea how to broadcast a class back then. I said, yeah, I'll keep you in mind. And then I started actually selling the recipe guides for it. So people would buy the recipe guides, and I turned that into an ebook. So there's so much potential here. You just need to go step by step by step. Come up with a concept, come up with a title, come up with a description, and decide to host it. Do it at your house. Invite some people you know. Ask them to invite some people you know. Cap it at 8 or 10, just to keep it simple, or whatever your kitchen will hold. And then do the class. Even if you just do it for 2 or 3 people the first time, it's going to give you great experience and great exposure. And you never know if those 2 or 3 people, if you do it right and you create intimacy, they may sign up to become clients with you. You never know. Let's see. I have a couple of questions here. So Rita says, would like to do a presentation at work, taking care of ourselves, taking care of our patients. That would be awesome. Just approach whoever's in charge and just explain that you want to do that. That's a great way to do it. You have to be a little bit more careful given where you work about making an offer for a consultation after there, but just do all the seeding and let them come to you. When you can actually make an offer, just seed like crazy and offer something free. Just offer them something free. Hey, if you give me your name and email address, I'll send you this recipe guide, or I'll send you a copy of my slides or whatever. Tony, 3 simple strategies to recharge, revitalize, and rebalance. Love it. Love it. Lynn, and in your description, make sure you give a little bit more, like it, whether you're going to do food or whether you're going to do a demo or have samples. People will come if you're going to do samples and you're going to give away food. I found that. Lynn says, I like to look at national events going on, such as Natural Diabetes Month, and use that as a little trigger. That's great. Should we have a media kit with topics and bio? Yeah, if you come up with several of these presentations, come up, have a media kit, put it on your website, and then anybody that's coming there will know that you're available for those things. Yes, absolutely. Martha said, I even did the AARP group once. They were just interested in having me, having a speaker, but gave me the experience. Absolutely. And again, if you start to employ these strategies I'm teaching you here, you can really turn those into lucrative engagements. Maria said, Ray, approaching churches, do you ask to speak with the pastor, priest, etc.? How to approach, especially if I'm not part of the church? An admin person, an administrator. So who's the office manager? Do you have an events coordinator? That kind of thing. Schools always looking for people to come and talk. PTA, that's another thing. AARP is the American Association of Retired Professionals or something like that. Michelle said she lost me. Is everybody else still hearing me? Kilo, what about offering 2 to 3 offers like free strategy session and upcoming programs and a pre-class? Here's the thing for everybody to know. If you offer too many things, people get confused. So I would say when you're first starting to make offers, make one offer because you can really, really get passionate about that one offer. You can always offer something that's your main offer and then say, oh, and if that doesn't suit you, you know, let's talk about a class. Two is great. 3 gets to be a bit much. I did that at first and it was a little, just got people confused. Yeah. Everybody else is hearing me, so okay. Every now and then you may have to just hit something to make you rejoin. Okay, so we're going to move on. So pricing your classes. This is the biggie, right? Because we all want to make some money, but sometimes you make more money on a free class, right? Those classes I made $3,700 at were free. I didn't charge people to get there. I got more people in the seats and I had more people to offer it to. So you have to really balance this out. If it's a free class, then you have to. Did I say have to make an offer? You have to, because what's the point, right? You just don't want to be a good Samaritan that goes around giving free classes. You've got to have a back end. You can also do bonus tickets. So if you have people in coaching programs or who have bought a book or whatever, you can say, you know what, I'm going to give you a bonus ticket to this. Calling it a bonus ticket versus free is much better, or calling it a scholarship. I have this class. When I did my 3 myths about fatigue, I said it was a $47 class, but I had a card made and I said, use this card and call this number and you can get a free scholarship to this, or a scholarship to this class. So call it what you want, but bonus or scholarship works better in people's mind than free, because free sounds like it has no value. And always give your class a value, even if you're not charging for it. It's a $27 class, but I'm offering it as a bonus to you today because, and have a good reason. So in terms of pricing, there's 3 major pricing structures that you can get into. You can make it a low price. You can say value is $47, limited time. I have a limited number of seats that I'm offering at $10. You make it irresistible, $9, something like that. People, anything under $10, people are easy to spend, right? You spend more than that at Starbucks. Because the objective, if you've got a good offer, is exposing as many as possible to that offer. It becomes a loss leader, but the back end is profit driven. So when I did this class where I offered this program and I ended up making about $3,700 from it, what happened was I had to rent the room, which was $100. I had to buy the food, which was, you know, maybe $20 or $30, depending on how many people were in there, maybe even more. Okay, I had some handouts, so I had to pay for the handouts. So overall, it might have cost me $200-$300 to put on that class. But I made $3,700. Is that a good investment? Yes. Plus, I made more on the back end because a lot of those folks then became clients in that program and others went on to upgrade into other programs. Because once they like what you do, they become addicted and they start doing it, all of it, all of it. Okay, so you can start with that. You can start with a moderate price, which is reasonable. $20 is really reasonable for people. Maybe you can make break even if you get enough people at that rate, or make a tiny profit. But really, again, you're going for the back end being the profit driven. You have to have a good, solid offer that you know people want. And it could be a free strategy session or a $10 strategy session. You know, that would be a good way to do it, is to take a deposit. Okay, I'm offering these strategy sessions. The first five of you who give me a deposit, a refundable deposit, if you decide that you want to work with me, we'll apply it to another class or whatever. But you make it a deposit so you know they're serious. And if they don't show up, they don't get their deposit back. But the main thing here is profit-driven. The back end is the profit-driven piece. And then you can have a full price, like Ghislaine's doing, you know, $125 for a six-hour class. That's intended to make a profit. Now, she still can offer a back end. She can offer the next class in sequence. If she's got a six-hour food prep, you know, detox foods class, and she also has a 3-week or a weekend detox program, that's a natural upsell. So she could say, well, anybody that's here, I'll actually credit you $100 off the ticket for that, right? Or that you can actually give them a full refund, a full tuition credit, if you want to do it that way. So the people can't resist free. And like, well, it's as if this class was free. You just have to sign up for this weekend thing, which costs, you know, $497. So that's another way to do it. You always offer a back end. The easiest back end is a free strategy session, but not necessarily. You know, a $7 ebook, $200, $300 group coaching program like Isabel does, right? You get them excited about the prospect. You really build it up, and then you make them an offer. So, and don't feel sleazy about making an offer at the end. It's only natural. So I'm going to tell you a story about what happened to me. So I was doing these classes, and somehow the word got out, and I had somebody call me who, for his wife, who had Crohn's disease and was really sick and just didn't tolerate whatever the doctors were telling her, didn't believe it, wanted to get her better, and heard about my class. I think it would help. I said, sure, and we talked. I said, great, you both come. So they both came. They paid $47 to come to the class. It was a 2.5-hour class. I gave them great value. And that was it. I didn't make an offer. I didn't talk about what I did. I didn't talk about my health coaching. I didn't seed. I was just focused on, I made $47 a person. Yay, I made $500 to do this class. It was nothing compared to what I could have been doing. So a few weeks later, this guy calls me back desperate. I need some help for my wife. We took her to this local naturopath, and she's getting worse, and they just put her on these tons of supplements, and she's really not doing well. Her blood pressure's through the roof. And is there anybody that you know that can help her? I just thought I'd call you. I said, well, I'll bring her in. I can do that. He goes, you do that? I said, yeah, you do health coaching, and I'm a doctor. I do this and that. He goes, oh my God, why didn't you tell us that in the class? We wouldn't have wasted our money going to this other person who we didn't really know. We just found in the yellow pages. We would have come to you from the start because we really liked what you did and we trusted you. Why didn't you tell us? So from that point on, I learned my lesson well, and I started seeding and telling people what I did. And I started getting new clients every time I did classes after that. So it really was a lesson, hard-learned lesson. They were pissed, basically. They were upset with me because I didn't make the offer. And they would have liked me to make the offer. So don't think that people are going to be mad at you for making an offer. They might be mad at you for not making an offer because you've given them great value and they want to work with you. Let's see. So let's look to see what other questions we have. Maria, feel intimidated approaching schools because I'm not a nutritionist. I guess I should not. Well, you don't position yourself as a nutritionist. You position yourself as an educator. You're a personal trainer. You've got that background. And you don't have to be. Well, there's a ton of people out that are doing programs online that are actually not nutritionists, that are teaching people, and they're calling the people that they teach nutritionists, but they're not really nutritionists. But they have some expertise and they're teaching it. And they're getting good results. So you have to just be honest about who you are. Hey, I'm a nutrition educator and I'm in a, you know, program where I'm studying to do nutritional endocrinology, which is much more sophisticated. I'm a personal trainer and I have some great tips for you know, helping kids to focus better at school. You know, because that's what blood sugar does, right, Maria? So to help kids to use food to improve their academics. And that could be a slant. That's a great slant for blood sugar. It doesn't always have to say blood sugar. It doesn't have to say what I do with belly fat, brain fog. There's so many things. Think of all the things that people manifest when they have blood sugar imbalances. Maria, I understand as a nurse, I have a higher liability risk, even though I'm saying I'm doing coaching. Yeah, you do have to protect your license, which is why I want you to make sure that you all have your disclaimers up. Okay, that you have your disclaimers up and then you're not working within a profession. You know, it's important, but I think you don't want to let it stop you. You just want to make sure you cover it. Maria said, Tony, I feel liability would be higher. I'm in a red state, kind of afraid. Well, that's a different story, and I don't know all the legalities of the red state stuff, and it might be worthwhile to speak to an attorney who knows that. Martha says, Maria, you could position it not to be about nutrition, but most places know nothing about smoothies, and you can't get in trouble for talking about facts about the food. So there you go. So you can talk about foods without making any claims. You can just say you want to teach kids how to eat healthier foods, how to include more greens into their diet, and less candy, right? You're allowed to say stuff like that. So that's a good point, Martha. Thank you. Jane said, schools welcome anyone with nutrition and health expertise. You don't need to be a dietitian. I teach at a local grammar school for low-income moms. Awesome, Jane. That's great. Maria says, Martha, I guess that could work as long as I'm not telling them what to eat, right? So you're telling them, everybody knows that sugar is not the best thing in the world for them. You don't have to tie it into stuff, but you just basically can talk about how helping people eat a healthier diet. Martha, I think if you use some of those adapted for use by permission, they would probably help smooth out doubt. Absolutely, because again, it gives you credibility. It gives you credibility. So good points. Thank you. All right, let's move on. We have a lot to cover. I know we can go on for days about this. So logistics, right? How do you set it up? Do you set it up in your kitchen and you put chairs around your counter? Do you clear out your living room and your dining room and put chairs in classroom style? I've been to and done all different types. I started out doing my classes in my home, in my kitchen, and I have a big center island. And then I have another island kind of peninsula, we call it, around the other way. It's like kind of a breakfast bar or whatever. And I would put chairs, stools all around the counter, the island. And you'll see what that looks like when we go downstairs to set up the class. And then also looking at around that bar, that breakfast bar. And we just put a lot of chairs in there. That was if I had, like, I think we fit 15 at the most that way. If I had more than that, what I would do is completely take out my dining room table and I'd set it in rows kind of like this, you know, not like desks like that, but they would just be chairs, rows of chairs. And that would be really a great way to do it too. And one time, I think we had, the biggest we had in my house was 30, and we cleared out, we moved the couches all against the wall and we set it up that way. I think we had, it was a kids in the kitchen, kids, mom and kids class, and moms got to bring kids. And I think we had like 27 people doing that class. So the logistics, you've got to register them. Don't just say come to the class and hope for the best. Have a way for them to register. Have a way to announce it. You can do email. You can do flyers that you post at health food stores. You can talk to health food store owners and ask them if they would put this in their grocery bag as people are leaving. You do word of mouth. You share it with everybody you know. You ask them to share it with everybody you know. You can do Facebook. You can post it on your Facebook page. You can find local stores or local businesses that have a Facebook page and ask if you could post it there. Or you just mention the class. You, like, say it's a store you frequent. You say, I'm doing this class. It's going to be at my home. I love to shop at such and such a class. You mention that so it posts on their page, right? So there's lots of ways you can do it with Facebook. You can do paid advertising. You can take out an ad in a local newsletter, journal. We have something called Healthy Awakening, Natural Awakenings. I did an article for them once. I had to pay to write an article to advertise there. So there's ways. There's lots of ways. Where do you do them, right? Where do you do them? Well, you can do it in your home. If your home isn't big enough or you don't like your kitchen layout, ask a friend. I know a few of you have done that where you did it at a friend's home. You can do it at a client's home. You can talk to somebody and say, hey, do you have friends who would like to learn this stuff? I would love to teach a class. Why don't you invite some of your friends? I'll charge them X number per person. You're free for supplying the home. Let's do it that way. Patty Rebko does something like that. You might want to chat with her. Ask her on Facebook if you have questions about how she does it. You can rent a place, like I rented Casa de Luz. I think it's supposed to be loaned from a church or other nonprofit. So you ask them if they, you know, have a room that you can use in any organization. So there's a lot of possibilities. Brainstorm them. We've done classes where we charged, I think, $20 a person or $15 a person. We rented out a room that cost us $500, but we filled it with 100 people. So it was $1,500 in tuition. It paid for it. So you have to work the numbers. You have to work the numbers. Setup. You can set it up, like I said, people around tables, and they have place to write. You know, say you have a big dining room table that seats 12. You can teach it in there. Right? There's a lot of things that you can do, and depending on whether you're going to need a sink if you're doing a lot of food stuff. But if you're just doing a demo, you can bring your Vitamix into the dining room and do it that way. You know, make a list of all the supplies you need. You're going to need, you know, have some extra pens around or paper in case people didn't bring it. Or you're going to create a handout so they can write in that, but supply a pen. You are going to need some little tasting cups. So if you're making things and you want them to taste, we would go to the restaurant supply store and get little taster cups and taster spoons. Or you can just serve it on regular forks and spoons, however you want to do it. You can give them big portions of things. Or are you just going to give them tastes, right? Are they going to have a meal? We've had classes, I've done 6-hour classes where we served a meal. We actually made their lunch and they had their lunch. We took a break and they ate their lunch. So think about how you want to do this, how long you want your class to be. I recommend if you're starting out just to start with a 2-hour class, because that seems to be a really good amount of time. You're not rushing too much and it's not so long that you're like, oh my God, I don't know if I can handle it. Handouts we already talked about in depth. And then if you do have products, if you have particular food items that you buy in bulk, but you put into little baggies, or, you know, check your local food handlers' rules. I think I was totally out of compliance with that because I never checked it. That did I have to have a food handler's license or whatnot? So if you're going to do food other than, you know, food that you've made and you bring in to share, think about those kinds of things. Okay, we're getting there. What is your content? Okay. Content, content, content. It has to be great. It has to be great or people are not going to come back. But what does great mean? It doesn't mean it has to be all professional and, you know, professionally designed. It means that it has to provide value. So in your introduction, you're going to introduce the topic. You're going to talk about why this topic is so important, whether it's a breakfast class or a dessert class or a blood sugar balancing class. And you want to do a great personal intro to you and mention your services. So, you know, what brings me here? Why do I do this? Here I am. I have this education. I've got this thing. I've developed a passion for teaching this because I've seen the transformation in not only, you know, people I teach in classes like this, but in my private clients. I offer blah, blah, blah. I mean, just a short, but let them know, create credibility. There's always a balance between vulnerability and credibility. You want to be really personable and there. And people tell me all the time, I'm so down to earth and all. But if I was just goofy and down to earth without establishing my credibility, that I'm incredibly smart, I'm a good researcher, I know stuff, then people would not have the respect. So you have to establish that early on. You want to introduce your materials in a compelling way, like why it's important to learn this. You know, get them paying attention right from the start. Establish ground rules. Like, hey, you know, if somebody's speaking, don't interrupt them. If you have a question, raise your hand. Whatever you want. One of the ground rules I learned from one of my mentors, well, two of them, Jesse and Sharla, at the Thrive Academy was, like, always put in, they have this list of ground rules about not interrupting and confidentiality. But one of them that I really stuck with me that I always talk about is get rid of the concept of I already knew that. Because if you're sitting there going, I already knew that, you're going to miss the value. And even if you walk away with one new tip out of this whole 2-hour class, it was worth the time because that tip can change your life. So establish ground rules, establish logistics. Where's the bathroom? You know, how long is it going to last? Are you going to have breaks, etc.? And then in the body, you're going to consider the timing. You know, if you're going to make 4 recipes, but they're all 4 gourmet recipes that each take 45 minutes each, you're going to run out of time. Plan accordingly. So if you have one big, long gourmet recipe you want to teach a bunch of little recipes. Don't try to teach 10 recipes in a 2-hour class unless they're little itty-bitty things. Plan it out in advance and be realistic. Practice your timing and your delivery because you don't want to end up with the 2 hours is over and you just got 3/4 of the way through the last recipe and you didn't have time to make your offer. Think about it. Practice it. Okay, the first couple of times, just practice it. And then seeding your offer, right? Talking about, as you're talking a recipe, as you're talking a concept about blood sugar balance or stress or adrenals, bring in your client experiences. And if you don't have your own client experiences, those of others. You've been on enough case study calls. If you haven't been, start coming to the case study calls because you can share, oh, one of my colleagues, you know, I haven't had a private client with this particular problem. One of my colleagues did. Or you just say, you don't even have to say whose client it was. Okay, here's the experience of this person. I'll call her Mary. Mary, blah, blah, blah. And you tell them about that. So seeding your offer is, if you're offering a strategy session, you want them to see that you have experience coaching clients. If you're offering a program, a detox cleansing program, or a gut repair program, you want to be talking about things that show that you have expertise in that area. And as you're sharing the recipes and the ingredients, you're talking about those ingredients in such a way as how they reflect on what you're going to be offering, how they affect the adrenals if you're offering an adrenal thing, how they affect the gut if you're offering a gut thing. So you don't want there to be a disconnect at the end when you finally do make the offer. You want it to be relevant to what you've been talking about, okay? And then when you make the offer, it's a smooth transition. So we've shared a lot in these 2 hours. I've shared as much as I can in 2 hours. And there's so much more to share. You're just getting started. And I applaud you for being here. And there's more. And I want to just tell you about an opportunity, if it feels right to you, to continue studying with me. I have this other program coming up, and it's called this. So instead of 2 hours, we have 3 2-hour classes, or we have a 6-hour block on a Saturday, or you know, you may be wondering, how do I apply this to my own health and my own life? Well, I'm offering some strategy sessions. I've got 5 of them. You know, just give me a $10 deposit and I'll hold your spot, or it's free or whatever. And you get them to sign up. But make it relevant to what they learned. Okay. So I'm going to check real quick for questions and then we're going to shift into live stream. So that's it for the live stuff other than, you know, what I'll share and what you'll observe when you see me doing mine live. Yeah, this is all recorded, so no worries, Beverly. Yeah, so Michelle says, yeah, that's how home parties do it. And you can do that too. You can make this a party, actually. You can make it a party, right? And Martha says, I always have a person there with me. Absolutely. Thank you, Martha, because you do want to have somebody there with you. I've done classes where I didn't, and it can be, you know, you need somebody that runs to get the dog from barking or whatever. You have to, yeah, have somebody there. Martha said, my dad came to everything when he was alive. That's so sweet. I always have a person there that really likes me to ground me. Yeah, and it could be one of your students even. You can give somebody a free ticket and say, hey, would you come and be here? And I may ask you to help me during, but just like smile at me and nod at me and help me with my confidence and ask good questions. Alma says her mom could serve that role. Oh, that's so nice that he was there for you, Martha. All right, so this is helpful. So let's move on. I think that's it. Yeah, let's move on to live stream. And I'm gonna switch at some point. I'm going to share with you a little bit about the live stream stuff. And then we're going to move on to actually look at how I set up what I set up for that. What we do for our classes right now. Now, I am not going to have every resource that's available, so I'll tell you how to search. But with live stream, it means that you're actually transmitting to folks who are at a distance in real time. So they're seeing you as things go on. Recording means that you have a camera set up to record you, and then you make it available later. So whatever feels better to you after you learn a little bit more about it, start there. Minimally record your classes. The live stream's a little more complicated, and you do have to have an extra person there to run that camera and also to monitor the chat. Now, we're fortunate. We have Lynn always monitoring the chat from a distance, and you can do that with some of these tools. I usually have my husband here monitoring things from here, running the camera, and sometimes I'll have an extra person here, which we don't have today, who will help me with getting foods and everything set up. So that's two ways to do it. Now let's look at the resources that you have available for doing it and what you need in terms of equipment. So in order to live stream, in order to stream it across the internet in real time, you need a webcam. The one on the very far right is the webcam that I have. It's like about a $60 Logitech. And the reason I like it is because it can attach to a tripod. So that little base at the bottom here, this thing attaches to a tripod and you can stand it up, which is really cool. It's a really good webcam. It's excellent. It's excellent quality and it's very highly recommended in the industry. So I have one of those, but you can also get one of the $20 ones to start. The problem with those is they have to be sitting on top of a computer, or you have to jerry-rig it or tape it or bungee strap it to get it onto a tripod. So I highly recommend that investment if you are going to do the live streaming. It's excellent quality. If you're going to just record it, then you need a camera, like a camcorder. The picture up there is similar to my camcorder up at the top over here. And that would be on a tripod and recording it. And you can either edit it or not at the end. Sometimes we've edited them, sometimes we haven't. And that goes up and it gets given to the person along with the recipe guide. So those are the two ways of recording. What else? The rest of this stuff, some of it's optional, some of it's not. Lights are optional, but it's good because what happens in our kitchen is that there's this window and it's really hard to block it off, and then you just use the internal light. So as the time goes on, the sun exposure in that window changes and so does the lighting. So we buffer that by having this camera kit. I bought it on Amazon for about $100. It came with those two stands with the umbrellas, and it also came with a screen and a whole bunch of other stuff that came with it. Basically, the lights are what you need. So you might be able to pick them up on Amazon for less than $100 if you're just looking for the lights. I just didn't know what I was doing. I bought the whole kit. I don't really use the big stand, that stand that's laying on the thing. I've used it at our last NEPT event. We set up a little booth where I put that little stand up with the backdrop, and we use that to record things at our event. A tripod. I think it's needed. I mean, certainly you can do it from a laptop, but it's really challenging. When Lynn did a show with me, she was doing it from her laptop, and she had to keep positioning her laptop, you know, and make sure that she was in the focus of it. Whereas with the tripod, you can adjust it up and down and around, and you can have somebody that makes sure that you stay in the focus. And finally, a microphone. That's an optional extra, like the lights. The camera, the webcam does have a good microphone. However, I usually use my big one that looks just like that. It's called the Yeti. And it was like, again, $100. And I use it because it picks up sound a lot better than the other one, but it's certainly fine. Just try it the first time with just get the good webcam if you're going to do this. Okay. You can also do, I have a wireless mic that hooks into the camera because we're doing both. We're recording it. We're also live streaming it. Now we could just use the recording that we get on the Google Hangout, which we use Webinar Jam, but I think the quality is much better when we use the camera. So it's a little extra work for us, a little extra expense because we pay somebody to make sure they edit out any bloopers and stuff. But it's definitely a worthwhile investment. So that's the basic equipment. You could basically, all in all, get started for $60 for the fancy webcam or $20 or just use your laptop and it won't cost you anything and just test it out. So what are some of the services that you can use? Well, we started out playing around with different things, and one of the services we used was Livestream.com. Couple of issues with Livestream. First of all, the basic price for Livestream, the free version of it, it will blast your thing out to everybody that's in Livestream and also on Facebook. So if you're trying to do a private class where you want to be paid to do it, the only way you could do that with Livestream is upgrade to the $300 a month level. We do use Livestream when we have our live events. We pay the $300 to have it for a month, then we drop it because it does do good quality. But that's the only way to make it private. Otherwise, it just blasts your private content out all over the place. So that was a downside of that. Google Hangouts. We did that for a while. It's free, totally free. You just go to google.com, look for a Google Hangout on air. And that will allow you to do exactly what I'm doing right now. But you have to do it directly in Google. So you have to set it up there. There's a whole bunch of stuff. It was a lot of steps. Webinar Jam uses Google Hangout. And look, I spelled webinar wrong. So it's W-E-B-I-N-A-R, webinarjam.com. And that's a thing. I got in the ground floor of it. I paid $297 for life. I think now it's $297 a year. But what it does is it gives me some fancy interfaces. It gives me this chat. It gives me the ability to screen share without having to know a whole lot. It just really takes care of that. Plus, it gives you opt-in pages and follow-up, and I can find out who came, who didn't, and follow up with people who maybe registered but didn't show up. So I really like Webinar Jam, and that's what I'm using right now. The next two things I haven't tested yet, and I will probably be testing them in the next few weeks just to see what the buzz is all about, but there's Periscope. I think Cassandra mentioned that she did a Periscope. And that basically, I think my understanding of that is it's more short things. You don't do like a two-hour class that way. And again, it's public. So it's not something that you can do and charge for, but it's great for your lead-in classes. Like say you're doing a two-hour free class, and you want a lot of people to come, you can broadcast it on Periscope, I think, and I'm not sure, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys that may know it, that you can't do it for a longer period. So these are not good for paid offerings, these are good for free offerings. And then the Facebook, and this is brand new, and I don't know if it's widely available now, I think people are starting to use it, but it's a Facebook Live. And this is the only site I found to really describe it. I haven't tried it yet, but I think it's similar to Periscope in that it's just broadcast live on your Facebook page. Okay, so good stuff, excellent stuff, excellent services. So I'm going to just take you in the back end of show you how I set up Webinar Jam, and then we're going to move down into the kitchen. We've been doing Q&A all along, and we'll open up for Q&A, and then we'll move down into the kitchen. We'll take a half an hour break so I can set up and get ready, get the camera set up. I have to move it from up here to down there, switch computers so I can use it downstairs, and then I'll show you all the behind-the-scenes setup that we do. So questions. Cassandra says, with Periscope, you can do it as long as your battery will last. I usually do 2 to 20 minute scope. And that's because you do it on your cell phone or your iPad, right? You don't do it separately. And Wow. Cassandra says she periscopes every day. I'm going to have to look into it. So it's a short little blurb that you can get up there and talk to people about. And it's a great way. Tell us about your experience with that. Has that helped you to get more traffic, to build more credibility? I'd love to hear more about that. When you list other services in your offer, in your handout or recipes, should you list the price? No, you don't. You just create, because these may change, right? These may change. So, and you also just, you want to create value before you tell people the price. Chandra says she has the same camera and it works well. Cassandra, maybe we can get you to share some of your experiences. She just started using Facebook Live. Yeah, super. Let's see. Okay, so Cassandra says she's going to pop off in a few minutes. So yeah, Cassandra, consider, you know, maybe we can have a conversation about that, because I don't know anything about how to use it. So it sounds like it's easy to do. Facebook Live is being offered for iPhones. Okay. Cell phone or iPhone. Okay, cool. Which is unlike this Webinar Jam, you cannot do from a cell phone or an iPad. So that's why I'm doing it on my main computer. It has to be either a Mac or a PC. I tried to do it on my iPad yesterday and was like, oh, this isn't working. And then I looked it up and I can't. So I was planning on doing it on my iPad today so that I can take that easily down, because I have a little thing that I could put my iPad on a tripod. There's a little case for it. There's also cases for your cell phone. And in general, if you want to make videos, the cell phone is great. You don't need a fancy camera. It's just a matter of how long it's going to last when you do it. But you can basically get these little contraptions. They cost about $10 that go on it, and it has a little place where you can put your tripod. Okay, so let's go to, I'm going to switch my, I'm going to switch to my screen where my Google Hangout, let me find it, bring it up into a screen. I'm going to stop